after the timeout. Holton Edwin will now try again. A 42-yard field goal out of the hold of Austin Fisher. There's the snap and hold. Kick on the way by Benton. End over end. And it is good!
Dix. Marching Murdoch. In motion. He's got the football now. Across the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Iowa State.
This is Down the Pipe and Natty Light.
Welcome, Cyclone fans, to another episode of Down the Pipe and Natty Light. As always, I'm your host, Levi Stevenson, joined this week by Marchie Murdoch. How's it going, March?
What's up? What's up, man? Glad to be back.
It's been a minute. I think you're on for our first preview episode, which was about a month ago now.
Levi, can I say something?
Go for it, man.
Can I say something?
Go for it.
So, the first thing I wanted to say, because it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Illini fans, we got to chill out on the Big 12 controversy. We're fine. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, what?
I feel like a lot of the
Illini fans.
I mean, excuse me, not Illini.
I was like, I didn't know Illinois was involved in this.
So, Cyclone fans, we got to chill out on the Big 12 stuff. Look, if I feel like we were too focused on what Texas and Oklahoma were doing. I mean, they had to do what's best for their programs at the end of the day. No matter, I think it was the best way for them was to keep it quiet, especially because of Texas A&M. I just think we got to focus on us. This is the biggest season of Iowa State's history. We got to focus more on that. We got to focus, you know what I'm saying? Because if we take care of business on the football field, all that other stuff will take care of itself. We're a top seven team in the country. We've literally got a lot of our guys back. We've got talented young pieces. Coach Campbell's not going anywhere. The Big Ten, if that happens, if we go somewhere else, everything falls right where we want it to be. It's on us. You know what I'm saying? So, and I also want to say that, you know, I thought Texas' move was actually kind of smart just because of smart on their end. I think it's smart because they were losing. Me being from Texas, I have to look at it from both angles because I'm a Texan and I know how the University of Texas is looked at in the state, and it wasn't good. And I think obviously we saw on Twitter where the guy said, you know, after they lost to Iowa State, you know, Texas felt like they need to have some changes, you know, and you can call it arrogance. But I think, you know, with that tradition and the winning history, I think if Iowa State had that same winning history from the past, we kind of feel the same way as far as, and if we were the most profitable, you know, college school organization in the country, I think, you know, if the roles were reversed, we would kind of think the same way, like what's going on. You know, they haven't won a Big 12 title since Colt McCoy. That was like a decade ago. So they, I know, you know, we're thinking, you know, how could they do this to us and all that stuff? But I just think it was good for them, them and OU personally. I think it was all about recruiting. They weren't winning the recruits in Texas. Trust me, I'm in the state. We hear about it a lot. Texas A&M was getting a lot of them. You know, teams like Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, they were getting all, you know, Clemson. They were getting a lot of the best players out of the state, and that's never happened. If Texas and Texas A&M are good and they're in the SEC, that's not going to happen. Kids are going to start staying at home. So that's why they did it. But at the end of the day, I think Iowa State would be perfect for the Big Ten football, basketball. We don't got baseball. But we've got great track, especially indoor.
Big Ten baseball is kind of a nothing.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Big Ten baseball is, you know, baseball is really ran by the South. You know,
it's warm weather. Baseball and softball both run by warm weather areas. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, exactly. But, you know, we dominate in track. You know, there's sports that we dominate in that may not get the same amount of pub. We just saw the softball team have like a crazy wrestling streak of being
the Big Ten's a big wrestling conference.
And wrestling. I mean, we literally
we have the third most national championships in wrestling out of anybody. So
that's what I'm saying. So, you know, we are a marketable team and we're on their radar. We just got to take care of business on the football field. And what I know, what the players need, what the coaching staff wants, what everybody wants is basically everybody there at the games to show these conferences what Iowa State is about.
Right.
You know, it's about us. You know, if the fans come out and pack that stadium out, which I know they will, it's probably been, I saw, you know, obviously with the season ticket sales, it's the highest it's ever been, you know, and I know every weekend it's, you know, every week it's going to be a packed house for the Cyclones, especially if we go out and we take care of business and we win the first two games of the year. Are you crazy? Can you imagine winning, finally getting that, you know, that monkey off our back in week two, and then we're going to Vegas, you know, and we pack that stadium out, because I know it's going to be, I know it's going to be filled with us. It's probably going to feel like a home game. You know what I'm saying? And we just take care of business each and every week. They'll notice, and we'll be in the Big Ten Conference. And if, I don't know about any of you Cyclone fans, if you just check the Big Ten West, it's a lot easier than I think than winning that Big 12 and facing Oklahoma every year and trying to win it. I think we can get to, I think we can get to the Big Ten Championship quite often.
The road to the Big Ten Championship out of the West is much easier than the road to a Big 12 title through Oklahoma.
Think about our scheme. We stopped the run. Our problems have been with teams that are very pass heavy and throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
Kind of like Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? If you look at our losses in the past, it's been teams that, you know, they've been throwing the ball deep on us and they've been very pass happy. The Big Ten's not like that. Big Ten is run oriented, especially on the West side. You've got Wisconsin, you got Iowa, you've got Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, you know, and those are teams that we can beat yearly.
Northwestern. Yeah.
I mean, Wisconsin's probably the best team in the West.
What I would give for an Iowa State-Wisconsin yearly series. Yeah, what I would give.
They're the best team in the West, but do you look at Wisconsin now and say, I'm scared of them? No.
No.
Are you scared of Minnesota? No. Are you scared of Northwestern?
Well,
no.
I know for a
scared
fact.
Of Iowa?
Minnesota would be, it would have some heat to it. Like that wouldn't be like, I would say in Wisconsin would be a pretty friendly rivalry. We're just good buds, kind of having a good game or whatever. There would be some legitimate heat to Iowa State, Minnesota, because there's a lot of history there, whether it's with Jack Trice or Campbell and Fleck or whatever. You know, there's a lot of, stuff going there. I don't think you got to sell too many people in the Big Ten.
It kind of means more. We've never had a rivalry with any of the Texas schools besides halfway rivalry with Baylor with when Owen Rule was there.
I mean,
our only rivals are really have been out of the conference.
Yeah, out of conference.
Missouri,
we used to be Missouri, used to be Nebraska. You can call Kansas State a rivalry. In conference right now, I look at Oklahoma State as more of a rival than Kansas State, because the games are always close and stuff like that. And I like playing Oklahoma State a lot more than Kansas State. But
yeah, I mean,
you know, I don't think you got to sell too many people in the Big Ten. I think everyone's on board. Like if we can land in the Big Ten, that would be an enormous boost. Cause not only do you get more meaningful games, better road trips, you get more money. Like it's like, it's taking the Iowa State football program and juicing it with adrenaline right then and there. Like, I mean, I think the stuff that you were talking about earlier with the Texas and Oklahoma stuff though, I don't think Iowa State fans are upset with the move itself. Like, I think everybody understands why Texas and Oklahoma left. I think it was more of the how. And especially as we kind of came to light that apparently there is evidence now that, like, ESPN colluded to essentially destabilize the conference and make everybody want to split up so that way they can get Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC and make them, you know, bigger ESPN properties and extract even more money out of them, but then also get all the rest of the Big 12 at a discount by essentially pumping up the American Athletic Conference and saying, well, the Big 12 is dissolving, but these guys can go to the American. They're going to go to the American and it'll be all great and be happy fun times. But the American only makes $7 million a year as opposed to the Big 12's 40, you know, or 38 or whatever it is. And so if you can get Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, you can get all of those on the cheap for $7 million a year. I mean, you wouldn't be able to. You'd get like 15, but like you can get all those on the cheap. Plus you can make more money on Oklahoma and Texas. And then there was all that evidence about the colluding. I think that was what was upsetting people more, is that essentially that ESPN was working as this big grand puppeteer to screw over everybody that isn't Oklahoma and Texas, basically. I think that was really the primary source of outrage. And I don't know. We're a long ways off from having a final, like a resolution on everything. Since we're past the kind of initial news blast now, I think we're still a long ways off from having any sort of closure on this. It'll be months, if not, maybe we may not even find out till like after this season. But you brought up a good point though about how this football season now has even more kind of riding on it, not just, you know, breaking the wins record, not just trying to win a Big 12 title, but winning a Big 12 title makes Iowa State a lot more attractive football program to the Big 10 or to the Pac-12 or whatever it is. I mean, can you legitimately, if you're the Big 10 and you've got Iowa State sitting right there in your footprint, sitting right there in the middle of the Big 10 West, with a Big 12 champion, they're a conference champion football program in a Power 5 conference. And if they did that, they're probably a playoff team, unless they lost two and then beat Oklahoma or something like that. If they're a one loss or better conference champion, that means they're in the playoff. Are you going to turn the playoff and are you going to turn down a playoff team that's in your footprint, meets all of your academic criteria and all that? Are you going to turn them down? I mean, that would make it really hard to do, especially with Jamie Pollard and his connections and Iowa State basketball coming on the way back up and having Hilton Coliseum and then, you know, all this. I mean, we've kind of, the realignment stuff has kind of been talked about to exhaustion as far as to what we know right now. But it's something to keep an eye on. But this podcast is primarily intended to be about the final three regular season games for Iowa State, which is at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma, and then home versus TCU. But before we get into all that, we should say thank you to our sponsors over at Stuss Bar and Grill and Ames. We had our party there a few weeks ago. I had a really good time. The gestachos were delicious. So were the tacos. All their drinks were. The mules were every bit as good as I remembered them being. So you can go there. They're unlimited tacos from 11 to 3 every single day. Taco Tuesday specials, FAC specials, all that good stuff. You guys kind of know the drill now. So definitely head on down to Stuss for, you know, and some delicious food or some wonderful drinks as well. So let's get into our first game of this. The third to last game of the regular season. I think up to this point, Iowa State has probably been favored in every single game, barring injury or any crazy results or something like that. So Iowa State's probably undefeated, just having come off of has a good shot at being undefeated. This game, they would be coming off of the win at Texas. They're probably 9-0 right now, I would guess, unless nobody in the top seven has lost, which someone will have lost because Clemson and Georgia play. So someone will have lost, and maybe Texas A&M loses. I'm sorry, I'm going to check Texas A&M's schedule real quick and see when they play and who they play. So Texas A&M, they play Alabama before this. So either Alabama or Texas A&M will have lost up to that point as well. So at least two teams will have a loss. So if Iowa State is undefeated at this point, they're probably in the top five. They're almost certainly in the top five. So this is probably we're in full like shooting for the playoffs mode right now. You still got three games left to close it out, but you have to go down to Lubbock. I know you played down in Lubbock. That is generally touted as a tough road game. Is Jones AT&T a tough place to play?
Nah. I think it is when it's Texas versus Texas Tech.
Yeah.
When it's for them, but when we come down there, no.
And the nice thing too is you're getting
It might be now because we're, you know, a top 10 team.
Because so there we're could up be there,
some hype. Yeah. If there's some hype, you know, if we're a top team still, like let's say if we're undefeated, it'll be, I would guess it would be packed. But
sure. One nice thing is that you're down in Lubbock.
When I played, no.
You're down in Lubbock in early November. Which is nice because you're not in the heat down there at that point. So you're not sitting there baking on that fake on the on the on the uh, on the artificial turf like we'll be at Baylor again. So that's good. So you're getting down there. It'll probably be just really nice, I would assume, by the time we get down to down to Lubbock in early November. But Texas Tech is always one that has a shot at being kind of prickly at home. We took care of them pretty heavy. Matt Campbell has demolished Texas Tech every year that he's been here. Has absolutely had absolutely zero trouble, whether it's been Cliff Kingsbury or Matt Wells. He's pretty much canned them all without any real effort. And I, you know, I'm the most talented Iowa State team we've ever seen. But you look at Texas Tech. So now the kind of their biggest offseason addition was getting the transfer Tyler Shuck, quarterback from Oregon. If that name sounds familiar to any Cyclone fans. He was Oregon's starting quarterback in the Fiesta Bowl. Now, obviously, didn't finish the game because Anthony Brown took up most of the snaps. But he was their starting quarterback, and now he's since transferred to Texas Tech. There's a wide range of predictions. There's a lot of people that think that in that offense, he could be really, really good. He could be like getting into the first round kind of good. Or there's, because he was a highly touted guy coming out of high school. Oh, there's a lot of things that people that think it's Texas Tech, and he's not that great. And then he could be bad, and it just kind of is what it is. But the good thing for him, though, is that Texas Tech does their biggest strength is their offensive line. They've got a good offensive line, one of the better ones in the conference. They have a lot of really, really big dudes. One of the guys I know that they brought in was a left tackle from TCU named, hold on, I had it right here. I'll find it again. I lost the name, but they took it. They had a transfer tackle from TCU. And I think they've got a chance. They've got a good running back in Sir Roderick Thompson. He's pretty good. Now the Big 12 is loaded with really good running backs this year. Look at every team, and just about everyone but Kansas has a good run, and maybe Baylor has a good running back. You've got, you know, Breece Hall. You've got Letty Brown out in West Virginia. You've got Deuce Vaughn. You've got Kennedy Brooks, Eric Gray, Bijan Robinson, Zach Evans. Now Sir Roderick Thompson. He might be the eighth best running back in the conference, but he's a very good running back, and he's running behind a really good offensive line. That'll be something to keep. TJ Stormont, that is the name of the guy. TJ Stormont, he was a left tackle at TCU, transferred, and we'll kind of dig into that a little bit when we get to TCU too about them and their offensive line. But Texas Tech does not have that problem. They have a quarterback. They have a somewhat unknown at quarterback, and they've got a good running back. The receivers, I think, are okay. There really isn't, like, looking back to their receivers last year, their leading receiver was Eric Ezekanma, where they had 46 catches, 748 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And I think he's back. So it's keeping track of who's back and who left is really hard. So they get Eric Ezekanma back. Yep. And, they brought in a transfer from Troy named Kalen Geiger that I think they're generally pretty excited about. The offense could be really good depending on how good Tyler Shuck is, but that's kind of about it. But as we're all well aware, Iowa State is not scared of any offense. There is no offense on this planet that Iowa State is scared of, including Oklahoma's.
Yeah. I don't think our team is scared of anybody.
No,
but I will say this, the season comes down, honestly, I'm not trying to get off topic, but the season comes down week two. Week two is the season. It is. Think about it. Every year, think about Campbell's run at Iowa State. We've had a couple hiccups in the first game. Second game has been a disaster, I guess you could say. Just because we haven't beaten him. He's 0-5. That's you know, but here's the thing that I'm confident in. Coach Campbell has knocked down a hump each year.
Yeah, he keeps slaying dragons.
He's knocked down the bowl game hump. He's knocked down beating Kansas State hump. He's knocked down beating Oklahoma hump, Texas hump. You know, the last hump is Iowa. And I've always said that game is, it's not the season. It's the it's not the season for what people think. It's not even about the trophy. It's not even about running the state. It's just about the team's confidence and just the monkey off your back. I don't think people understand how big this game is for the state and how if we win this game, think about this. We win the game. We play UNLV. We win. What's the month right after September?
October.
We literally, we ball in October.
That's a fact.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if we could just do what we supposed to do those first three games,
first five is UNI, Iowa, UNLV, five. Baylor, Kansas. I mean,
right. I mean, I think the toughest games are Iowa and Baylor.
Yeah, because it's at Baylor too. Yeah,
right. I think Baylor is going to be a tougher game than what people think, especially early on. And you know, we haven't won there in about 4 years. We didn't win the last time we were there.
No, we did not. Did you guys beat them? 2017.
We did. We beat.
Yep. Yeah, because that was the one that Hakeem had that bananas catch.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it just the season comes down to that. I hate to be like, so it's down to one game, but if you noticed Iowa State, if you watch this, actually do, we win that game, I'm more confident going into the season than ever because that monkey's off their back. I think guys are going to play more loose. Now, we didn't play him last year. I think we would have beat him
last year. I think we would have beat him last year.
But we did it, you know? So that's just another year added on of, you know,
they had to sit on it. Yeah.
Right. And you want and that's a game where even when I played, I mean, honestly, it took until right when the kick went off at Akron for me to get over the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's that, I mean, I'm just that type of person where
sure
it'll stick with me. And then the next, I got, you know,
wow. And that particular one too, that was a really tough one.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. It was my senior year. So it's these guys' last chance. This is Brock Purdy's last chance. He didn't get to get one last year.
Right.
You know, it may be Breece Hall's last chance, you know? So that's something that it's circled. The state will be, but just to carry on, if we execute versus Iowa, I think we go to Norman and we run the table. We execute. There's going to be some tough games in there. This is probably going to be some close games, close battles. I don't think Texas is just an easy win. I don't think that at all. I think
it's not an easy win.
Right.
I would say it'll be favored, but it won't be an easy win.
Yeah, it won't be an easy win. You know, and especially if Texas, you know, maybe Texas, you know, shows that they're better than what they are. You know, they're capable of it. I don't know if they do, but they're capable. But we go into Norman and I like it. I kind of like how the schedule is because you play them late.
Let's hold off on Oklahoma just a little bit because I want to talk about
the Texas. I thought we had went to Oklahoma.
We're almost there. But to finish out Texas Tech, their defense is not great. Iowa State shouldn't have a lot of trouble moving the ball on them. Charlie Kohler consistently kind of demolishes Texas Tech. He always gives them a ton of problems. Breece Hall had a really good game against them last time. I would expect Iowa State to be in control of the ball for the most part, which means that they're probably the Texas Tech. They may try to do what they did to Oregon, and they just try to just ball control the absolute hell out of them to the point where they don't really want to be on the field anymore. And, you know, I think it's a game that I wouldn't call it a trap game so much where it's like, oh my God, you might lose this one. You could easily lose this one, but I think it's one that, one, two, I'm not worried about trap games with Matt Campbell's teams. I mean, the teams are always focused. It could be Kansas or it can be Oklahoma. I mean, I can't, the focus thing is not an issue in my mind. I don't know about you, March, but to me, Texas Tech is one where they go down. It's a business trip down there. You take care of business. You come back with a 14-point win, and you get ready for Oklahoma. So now, Oklahoma, this is probably if Iowa State and Oklahoma are still both undefeated going into this game, I would be shocked if this game doesn't have game day. It'll be a huge game because Oklahoma will be in the top. They'll be probably number two or number one. If Alabama loses to Texas A&M earlier in the season, Oklahoma is probably number one. Iowa State would be at this point would probably be still be number five, maybe number four, depending on who moved and who and you know other game results. This could be a top five matchup in Norman for. And the interesting thing is at this point, if both teams are 10-0, the game really actually does. There's almost nothing to lose for either team because. You know, even if Oklahoma loses, they're 11-1, they're in the Big 12 title game. Now, if they lose the Big 12 title game, again, they lose to Iowa State twice, then they're not in the playoff. But, and I hope that happens, but if they split or Oklahoma wins two, which is probably both of those two are more likely than Iowa State winning both of them. But, if Iowa State loses, you're 10-1. You drop down like a couple spots, maybe, unless you get absolutely destroyed. But unless you know, assuming it's a good game, you're dropping down maybe a couple spots. You're no longer undefeated anymore, but you're still only one loss in conference. You still, if you beat, you know, unless TCU is also only got one loss at that point, or if they've only got one or two losses at this point, if they've got three losses, they're already out. So, you know, if you lose at Oklahoma, depending on what TCU is doing, maybe you have to beat TCU to get in. But from a playoff perspective, like if I was in 10-0 at that point, then we're obviously looking towards the playoff. We're trying to see what we need to do to make the playoff. Iowa State's probably not getting into the playoff if Iowa State goes 12-0 in the regular season and then is not a conference champion. I don't know if Iowa State gets into the playoff, but if Oklahoma is 12-0 and loses in the championship, they're probably still in just on brand power. So at this point, the game is really only for either of them to gain. There's not really a lot of it could be a really fun game because it'd be huge bragging rights. It would be immense for the playoff picture because it could put either of them in danger where they have to win. Where the loser has to win the Big 12 title to make the playoff. And the winner is essentially guaranteed a spot in the title game. So it'll be a really interesting atmosphere. Iowa State's played close at Oklahoma the last few times in 2017, obviously beat them. And then in 2019, lost their right at the end by 1 point. And then Iowa State just played them close, beat them last year, all that good stuff. Everyone well aware of the history with Oklahoma to the point where we know, you know, at least within the conference, we, you know, a lot of people consider Iowa State, you know, maybe not equals with Oklahoma, but, you know, right there, like a 1A, 1B type of scenario. Or 1-2 anyways. So looking at the Oklahoma offense, you've got Spencer Rattler back there, obviously. He's, you know, widely considered to be the Heisman favorite. Probably number one pick in the NFL draft next year, all that good stuff. Everyone knows Spencer Rattler. Running back, they lost Ramondre Stevenson's in the NFL now, and the guy that got a lot of the carries last year, Seth McGowan, is no longer on the team. He was arrested, I think, for something. But he's no longer on the team. So they've got Kennedy Brooks now back because he opted out last year. So you have Kennedy Brooks back, and then you have the transfer Eric Gray from Tennessee, who is also widely considered to be a pretty good player. So they've got good talent at the running back. Obviously, they've got tons of skill position talent. Their offensive line is actually probably their weakest spot on offense, and it should still be pretty solid. What do you think, March, as far as dealing with the Oklahoma offense in Norman? What's kind of Iowa State's key there to dealing with the Sooner offense, I think?
The key is to limit the big plays. Oklahoma thrives off big plays.
Agreed.
With our history, I think in that game, if everything's going well, guys like Will McDonald have got to show up. Basically, our guys aren't scared of him.
Right.
So I think, and I think Oklahoma knows that now. They know that, like, hey, Iowa State's a good team. They're a real contender. They really respect us.
I think so too.
But I think this game's come down to X's and O's. I think this comes down to the coaching staff. I really do. I think Oklahoma on paper is more talented. But in this, every time we play, it's not really about the paper. It's about execution. We have to put pressure on Spencer Rattler. That's the
make
first
him run
thing.
Around. Yeah.
If anything happens in that game, we have a chance if we can put pressure on Spencer Rattler. That's right. One. Two.
Put pressure and contain, because he's really good on the run. Yeah. But he when
but he's
he,
not but he's not Jalen Hurts Kyler.
No, he's not that kind of, but he is kind of like Baker, where when he gets out and he's improvising, right. He's really good.
Right. But I think Baker was a worse scrambler because Baker would hold on to the ball too long.
Yeah, Spencer is better at everything than Baker was. But yeah, but it, you want to pressure him, but you want to keep mm-hmm. him in the pocket so he can't be dangerous outside of the pocket.
Yeah. So another thing, I think we have to get pressure on Spencer. That's one.
Yep.
I don't want him comfortable at all. Two, we have to stop the big plays. Our secondary has to be on point. There can't be miscommunication.
Yeah. No hucking it deep to Charleston Rambo on the first play that came or anything.
Yeah. That cannot happen because they were on the road and it was Spencer Rattler's basically
first game,
road game. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And it just so happened our fans actually were in the stands. So that helped. So that cannot happen. Big plays deep down the field. Our secondary has to be prepared. They have to be ready to go. They have to be communication has to be on point. The third thing is I would say you have to watch out for Lincoln Riley and he has 2 to 3 plays that are unorthodox, but they work. For right. example, you know, he'll have everybody going right and somehow the running backs going to the left.
The leak left.
You know, if you watch Oklahoma, they have those certain plays where it's kind of funky, but it works.
Last year they ran a bunch of times was that they kind of ran like a mid screen shovel pass to the running back where the lineman would kind of go up just a little bit. And then the running back would be back on a delay basically, and then they just shovel it underneath, and then he just zip right out for 15 yards.
Exactly, and you have to limit those because Lincoln Riley's good at really finding a hole in your defense and kind of making those type of plays work. It's probably the
best offensive mind in college football. I mean,
he's well deserved of that title. He'll run those more on teams. Not saying that he doesn't respect them, but he feels like he can get away with it more.
Sure.
And I think with a team like us, it'll probably be like 2 to 3 times that he runs it. And I think, you know, a couple of them will be early in the game, and then he'll save one that'll kind of look like the first two. And then it'll be something completely different. You know, if it's like a quarterback draw with a flea flicker pass, then he'll run somewhere. It's like a flea flicker pass, but the running back will, you know, run to the outside and everybody will go deep running with the passes and it'll be wide open with the running back. Just something funky along the lines. We have to contain that defensively. So that's the defensive side. That's my report.
Yeah. So switching
stop the run.
Yeah.
The run game doesn't really.
Yeah, the run game doesn't really scare me necessarily. Right. It's something they can do damage with it if you're not paying mm-hmm. attention to it, but it's not one that you're like, oh shit, I gotta stop the run game.
Right. And so offensively, we have to have big plays. We have to capitalize because, you know, the soonest defense has gotten better, but they're not.
Well, let's talk about the Oklahoma defense a little bit. Because they're the best Oklahoma defense that we've seen in a while. Alex Grinch has got
the last 5 to 6 years.
Oh, probably more longer than that. A lot of Oklahoma fans think it's the best defense since 2003. which is back. Their Oklahoma, that Oklahoma defense was crazy. But they've got a couple really, really talented pass rushers. They've got Perrion Winfrey, Isaiah Thomas, and Nick Bonito, all at linebackers and pass rushers that can do a lot of damage. They were really, really good. Oh yeah, so the 2003 Oklahoma, they had Tommy Harris. Tommy Harris, Lance Mitchell, Antonio Perkins, Derek Strait, Dan Cody, Eric Bassey. I mean, they had some really, really good players. Tommy Harris leading that linebacker corps. Anyways, they've got a really good pass rush. They've got their corners are still. They've been recruiting size, like 6'1", 6'2" corners, but they're all really young. They're freshmen. Right now, their starting corners right now, though, are still in that 5'10"-ish range. They're still on the shorter side. So Iowa State still has the advantage when they can use tight ends and stuff like that and really bully that the middle of that defense that just doesn't have the size to deal with a Charlie Kohler or a Chase Allen or whatever that is. Their defensive line's really good. Luckily, we've got a really good offensive line that can counter that. And Brace is a very good blocking running back. He's really good at that, actually, and really, really good at blocking running back. So when you're going up against a pass rushing unit, I mean, you're gonna have to have counters to that, like screens, or you're gonna have to have screens or quick passes like RPOs or some kind of slants and stuff like that, which is going to be on Brock for staying composed, and it's also going to be on Breece and the receivers and the tight ends and getting open and making plays in traffic. When you're looking at the Oklahoma defense, how are you trying to attack them?
So their mantra is speed D, but how you beat speed is you use power. You hit the speed and you hit them and you keep hitting them to a point that the speed isn't what now they're thinking. And when everyone knows if a fast person is thinking too much, he's not fast.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I say this game is more of a coaching staff game. And it'll be intriguing to see. Let's say we're undefeated. I know for a fact the coaches want to win both games, but I also feel since the game's so late, because you know when we played them last year, it was early.
Yeah,
the game's so late that I don't feel that Iowa State, if we feel that, hey, it's going to be us and Oklahoma again in literally a couple weeks, I don't think we use everything. I know that sounds crazy, but does it matter if you're the one or two seed in the Big 12 championship?
Nope, not really. A bit.
You know, but going into the game, what I would do is I'm gonna see if the defense can withhold the run game. Let's use Breece. Let's use different ways of running the football.
I mean, especially I don't know if you've seen these pictures of Breece lately.
Right,
the dude looks like a friggin' tank. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
oh. Yeah, I, you know,
if you're running that dude into him 30 times, like they're not holding.
I really hope this year that it's that, you know, we know about Breece, but I hope that by the time Oklahoma comes up,
Jarrell Brocks,
I hope it's almost like, who is this guy? We have to worry about him as well.
And it turns out that guy, dude's a cannonball. He has given he will just blast you. I mean, he's the broadside armor penetrating rounds into the side of your battleship.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he does.
It keeps Breece fresh.
Yep.
So you have him in the fourth. It helps him throughout the year, makes him more durable, makes him, you know, more healthy.
Right.
So it's interesting to see how it all plays out. But if we're thinking best case scenario here, they're both a 1-2 punch. So I'm using both of them early on, but I'm also using play action, which has worked against OU. Mm-hmm. The RPOs worked with Xavier Hutchinson. Yeah.
And Chase Allen. And Chase Allen is really good in those RPOs, right, too.
And what I'm hoping on, which to me is the key to the whole season, and I know people have heard me say it, it's the receivers. If my receivers can step up, make plays consistently throughout the year, this team is scary.
Oh, the offense is virtually untouchable. If they have two or three receivers, it's untouchable.
We have vertical weapons. We have big guys that can catch the football when it's tight man-to-man coverage in the red zone, etc. We've got tight ends that can get open and that can catch the ball and move the chains. We've got receivers that are shifty, can take it to distance. Tariq, hopefully,
Jalen Noel
kid, yep, that we've been hearing about.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. Jackson.
Daniel Jackson's a good Jackson, like kind of a hybrid possession vertical guy. He's like you six, know? I think he's like 6'1" or 6'2".
And
he's,
then, you know, you can even bring up a guy like
well, Darren Wilson's got some wheels. He can
Joe Skates. He's supposedly
apparently Joe Skates has been very good this camp. It sounds like he's finally kind of got his off the field stuff together. Yeah, he's consistent. If Joe Skates can turn it on, he is the most talented receiver in that room.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. And
you know, like, you get what I'm saying? And that's not to say that Xavier Hutchinson isn't talented.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or Sean Shaw.
I've been on the Xavier Hutchinson bandwagon since day one. I've been hyping that dude since the day we got him. But I'm not afraid to say that while Xavier Hutchinson is extremely good at what he does, if Joe Skates has it together and is hitting his ceiling, he's the best receiver on the team.
He's electric. I've seen him up front.
He's incredible.
He can do stuff. He can do stuff that's freakish.
Yeah.
Okay. He can run. He can run, get under the ball. He can catch a slant and take it the distance. I've seen it. It's just got to come together, and I think it is from what I'm hearing. If everything goes together, they've got to worry about two bell cow running backs that can take it to distance. You've got to worry about, three, four receivers? And then, not to mention, you've got to worry about the best
tight end in college football.
And then, on top of all that,
Brock Purdy.
Add another running threat with Brock Purdy on top of his arm. This offense could be scary, but it only will be scary if the wide receivers allow it to be.
If the wide receivers are what they were last year, where it's just one dude getting like 90% of the targets, the offense will be what it was last year, which was fine, but it wasn't like electric.
Because I think in a lot of situations, if you watch our old games, there wasn't enough trust for the receivers. There was trust in maybe Xavier. When Tariq kind of came back, there was trust in him right off the rip versus Texas. He had his best game of the year, you know. Yep. So there's even Sean Shaw, you know, they're starting to become a trust factor. And, you know, now it's year two. Now I've thrown to these guys for another year. You know, some guys 3 years, some guys 2 years. There's going to start becoming a trust factor where, hey, if you see this, run this. And you're going to be open because I trust you. That's what this offense has been missing. And frankly, let's just be honest. It hasn't ever had since Coach Campbell's been here. We trusted Allen. We trusted one receiver. We knew one receiver was going to be that guy.
We had an alpha.
Yeah, we had an alpha. But now we need co-star.
And we've still got an alpha, but you need other guys to compliment him. Because Tariq Milton, whether it's Tariq Milton, Joe Skates, Jalen Noel, or any combination of them, if they can step up and take pressure off of Xavier and Charlie.
If two to three, four guys can step up at one time.
Along with
Charlie Kolar.
Oklahoma doesn't have the personnel. They're going to be a good defense, but they don't have the personnel to deal with that. They just don't.
I think Oklahoma's defense will be pretty good.
I think it'll be good.
The problem is I don't trust their DBs.
I don't trust their DBs at all. Their pass rush is going to be the entire key to their defense. Yeah.
The pass rush. So if they don't, you could even say the key is O-line, just take care of business. Brock, make the right reads.
Right.
It's not hard. Make the right reads. Who cares if it's 80, 90,000 fans? Just make the right read. We'll walk out of here with the win. I truly think we can go in there and win.
Yeah.
you know, it just depends on the team's mindset, how it is early in the season, how it is throughout the whole season. But that Oklahoma game, it's very intriguing. It could easily be a college game day game, top teams playing. I don't see LU losing before they play us. And, you know, there's a couple games that for Iowa State that I'm kind of, you know, iffy on. But all in all, we could very much be undefeated or may possibly with one loss, which is still our season still intact. So if you ask me, the key for the offensive end is to protect Brock. That's one. Two, initiate power with the run game. And three, receivers got to make big plays all over the field. If it's close, it's got to be ours. If you catch a slant and it's there for you to break it, you've got to break it open. Because in an offense like this, I mean, you know, our defense could be playing great the first half. And you come out the second half and OU's just killing us. We've got to keep the pedal to the metal at all times. And then special teams wise, you know, just don't mess it up.
Don't fuck it up. Don't fuck up.
It's that simple.
Yep. And that's the whole deal is Iowa State can go in and win. They absolutely are talented enough. The scheme is good enough. They're solid enough. They're veteran enough. They can absolutely go in Norman and beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Will they? I don't know. They might. Yeah. They could. If they do, awesome. If they don't, it's actually not that big a deal for Iowa State.
Honestly, if I'm the coach, I'm going in there with nothing. Like, if we're undefeated.
Iowa State truly is playing that game with nothing to lose. There is nothing to lose.
If you're undefeated, you literally go in the game with nothing to lose. I'm letting it all out there.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm calling go routes. If we lose, okay, they just showed us. They just literally gave us the blueprint to beat them in the Big 12 championships in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. 100%.
If we're undefeated and it's looking like, hey, it's Iowa State, Oklahoma part two again in the Big 12 championship, I'm letting it rip. Are we better than them or not? We go out there and smack them. It gives us confidence that we're going to smack them in a couple weeks when we play them again. They can't beat us if we just play our game. If we lose, okay, we go into that Big 12 championship game hungry. You want to lose another Big 12 championship game? Well, this is what we did in the first game. We can't do this. Fix this. And you just go back to the drawing board. You know, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But, if we do lose, I think it's going to be one of those games where, like,
could have done a couple things here and a couple things there.
Could have done a couple things here. But, you know, if we lose that game, I still like us in the Big 12. I think the hunger is going to be as how hungry teams are. You know, we've lost to them twice. We're not losing this year. You know, stuff like that happens, man. You play them. You know, we've seen Georgia play Auburn. They played Auburn a couple years back. Got blown out in Jordan-Hare Stadium at Auburn. They came back 2 weeks later and they put it on Auburn. They won the SEC championship. It's happened throughout time. It's not unlikely. You know what I'm saying? Now, the key is we got to be undefeated. We got to take care of business before that. We go into Oklahoma game undefeated, man. Let it rip. We have nothing to lose.
100%. I couldn't agree more. So whatever happens with I would say it's either 11-0 and probably, second or third. I don't know at that point. Yeah. They're high. Like they're in the, yeah. they're currently, they would be ranked in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Then you got TCU at home for your home finale on, I believe it is on Black Friday. Yes, it is. It is on Black Friday. It says at 3:00 or 3:30 PM on Black Friday. So we actually already basically know a kick time for that. Interesting. So that one is TCU has a really big range. Like outside of Baylor, they may have the biggest range of any team this year. Like they could be a 6-win team. They could be a, 9 or 10 win team
for the champion.
They could be a 10 win team.
Potentially be fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. It depends. Part of it will depend on how Max Duggan, if he's developing at all, because he's, last year he had a low completion percentage, but he was also running for his life most of the time. The offensive line was pretty bad. The running game was the defense was fine. Mm-hmm. But they've got a lot of guys back. They've got, I know, O'Shawn Mathis is kind of the leader of that defense as a pass rusher. They have a typical TCU defense that's going to be really good. They're probably the second or third best defense in the conference. TCU's ceiling is almost entirely dependent on their offensive production, which they've got speed. They've got a skill guy on the outside, that can be really good. You know, they got Zach Evans there at the running back spot. But how it's really how what TCU's offense looks like does come heavily down to
Max.
Comes down to Max Duggan and then kind of by association the offensive line. Because any TCU fan, I'll tell you, last year their offensive line was poopy. It was bad. And one of their left tackles is now at Texas Tech, and he's, you know, considered to be the leader of that group at Texas Tech of a good offensive line group. Now they've got some guys. They were really young last year, so obviously they get lots of snaps. They've got a full off season, a regular off season, now, so they should be taking a step forward. But is it enough to deal with Will McDonald?
I don't know.
Does anybody have an offensive line capable of truly dealing with Will McDonald? Mm-hmm. And
I will say this about TCU. They're one of the teams where I'm going to keep an eye on them.
Oh, 100%.
If they can, if I'm not mistaken, they'll be on the road versus Oklahoma. That's probably a loss.
Yeah.
Texas at home, and they've beaten Texas a lot over these past years. I just found out they are like 7-3 versus Texas.
Yeah. Gary Patterson owns Texas. Gary Patterson owns Texas.
So, you know, They've got
SMU at home. They've got Texas at home. They're on the road at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma. They've got West Virginia at home. They're at Kansas State. They've got Baylor at
Oklahoma
home.
Oklahoma State at home.
They're at Oklahoma State.
See,
that's a tricky one.
You know what I'm saying? I think for TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Texas, us.
West Virginia, Oklahoma State are all potential losses for them.
Yeah. You know, you can look on the schedule and be like,
even Kansas State, they're at Kansas State. So, I mean, something could go wrong there. Yeah.
You know, and they've got talent. They do have talent.
TCU recruits well. Yep.
They got a very good running back.
Zach Evans.
Out of Houston. Zach Evans.
He was at one point in time the number one player in his class.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really good. I mean, you know, I heard about him. They said he was going to go to Georgia.
He was a Texas commit. He was a Texas commit for a while. And then I think he had like an off the field thing.
He signed with Georgia, but he like sent his letter of intent, but they pulled it back because of, he had issues off the field.
I could have sworn he was a Texas commit.
Nah, he was a Georgia commit.
Zach Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Or like he was his, look it up. His letter.
I am looking it up. I could have swore he was a Texas running. Yeah. He was a Texas commit, and then
he might have early on in his, you know, his high school career. He signed his letter of intent to Georgia. He's got some talent.
Yeah,
you know, I saw, you know, there's the Baylor game last year was kind of his coming out party. I expect him to have a really big year. The problem is, TCU's defense, is it the same? They've lost their best safety. They lost the linebacker Garrett Wallow. That's really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
A couple D linemen. They do have LaDainian Tomlinson's nephew.
Yeah, Travius Hodges Tomlinson. Yeah. He's a corner.
But I just don't know if they're enough. I think maybe in a year they're probably back good again. I think this is an up year for them. I don't know how many wins they had last year, but I think they'll have a couple more. I think they beat teams like Baylor, Texas Tech, West Virginia. They probably beat Texas again. They take care of business in the offseason. I mean, in the non-conference season where they don't lose to SMU like they did last year, if I'm not mistaken, or was it the year before? Something like that. But, you know, they're a team to look out for. They're a dark horse, in my opinion. I think they're like teetering around that that they could potentially be that third to 15 range, you know, however it plays out. So, you know, that's a test, but I think, depending on that OU game, it could be a game where, hey, we got to finish this thing out for playoff type of thing. Cause you know, if we can come back and beat OU in the Big 12 championship,
right,
then we could potentially be in the playoff with one loss because we've avenged our lost OU. But the thing about TCU is, do we trust Max Duggan? No, as of right now, but he is a very experienced quarterback. We trust him with the running game. We don't trust him with his passing. Two, they've lost a lot defensively, in my opinion. So I know Gary Patterson's always going to be very stout on the defensive end, but at some point talent comes into play. So we'll see how they are on the defensive end, but offensively you stop the run. You force Max to throw the football,
mm-hmm.
and that's the game plan.
And Iowa State is
Iowa State has had success
against when Iowa State has had good quarterback play, Iowa State has had success against TCU.
Mm-hmm.
So like in 2018, when we played at TCU, it did not go well because Zeb Nolan was butt cheeks that game. He was really bad. He had like 98 yards passing in the entire game.
We literally should have won that game.
Like, we actually should have won that game, even with bad quarterback play.
We were up.
We were up till late, yeah.
And we picked the ball off, and we picked it off at the one. Then we couldn't get a first down.
Right.
And we punted in, they kicked the field goal at the end of the game.
But 2017, the defense was really good. You guys had good quarterback play, made some good plays. And, you know, 2019, just kind of owned TCU. They were really good. I mean, they did very good. Brock Purdy had a really, really good game. Last year,
Brock didn't really have a good game.
Well,
a couple bonehead
mistakes. He had one really, really bad mistake. Mm-hmm. In an otherwise pretty good. So like, let me pull up his stats. Cause
I think it was more of, you know, our running backs came to play and our O-line.
Yeah.
We had a couple big plays, as far as in the passing game, Joe Skates caught one right before.
So Brock Purdy last year, the TCU game gets a little bit overshadowed because of that one, but he was 18 of 23 for a touchdown. He completed 78% of his passes. I mean, you can't complete 78% of your passes and say, well, hey, he had a shit game. He had one extraordinarily dumb play. And it kind of overshadows what he did the rest of the game, which was otherwise pretty good.
I also think the defense could have played better that game.
The defense could have played better.
Bonehead.
They had some broken plays. I think it was a Pro Wells that caught that big, that long one.
Was Max Duggan their quarterback?
He was for the second half. He missed the first half because of
something wrong with him, right?
They didn't think he was going to play because he had a heart condition. But then he didn't, he only played in the second half, I think.
Mm-hmm. They moved the ball a little bit in the second half.
Right. Yep. They did. Yep.
You know,
now part of it is Iowa State was game planning for the other guy. And now they have Max Duggan, who's a totally different quarterback.
Yeah. Right. So it's not like we haven't played him before.
Right. It was like Oklahoma State defending Brock Purdy, his first game. It's like, yes, Brock Purdy was brilliant that game. No doubt. Mm-hmm. But Oklahoma State had no film on this dude who played completely the opposite of what Zeb Nolan or Kyle Kemp played. 100% right. Different quarterback. No tape. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable that they didn't really know how to defend him. And that's kind of where Iowa State, you know, had been game planning for the other guy. Now they have to change the game plan entirely for Max Duggan. Plus, you had a couple busted coverages and stuff like that because the corners were kind of shit, other than Anthony Johnson. Like the second corner, Tavon Kyle and Daytron Young weren't good last year. So, you know, he had some weird broken coverages and stuff like that. But like you said, I mean, TCU there's nothing that Iowa State, like that TCU that can do that Iowa State can't defend. It's another team you're not like scared of, and you're not scared of them at all, really. And not on offense anyways. If you can bottle up the run, you bottle up Zach Evans and you limit the damage that Max Duggan can do on the ground and you make him throw the ball, you got a pretty good shot at it. And TCU's defense is going to be good, but they, like, again, if you're right, if you're sending 220-pound Breece Hall at him over and Darrell Brock at him over and over and over, and you're just giving that full broadside artillery shot, every, you know, 35 times a game, just boom, boom, boom. Yeah, mm-hmm. And defense just they just can't hold up to that, especially when if the offensive line is playing really well, like we think they will. If the offensive line is doing good and like linebackers are consistently having to be the first guys to touch Breece Hall, they're going to have problems, man. They're going to have a lot of problems. Or God forbid if the first people that are getting hits on Breece are safeties and shit like that, because they're just going to have a bad day. That's just going to be a bad time if you have safeties that are trying to be that. If safeties are the first people putting hands on Breece Hall, you're having a bad time. You're going to have a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game that I would say it'll probably be favored in. Whether or not it means anything is entirely dependent on TCU probably. And if they're good, if they're already out of the Big 12 title game, there's a good chance that Iowa State and Oklahoma have already locked up their title berths before they even play the week before.
Right.
But otherwise it could be a play in game to the Big 12 title game. And if Iowa State wins that, they could be 11-1 and in the Big 12 title game and have a chance to be an 11-1 conference champion, which puts them in the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, man, TCU game, it'll be cold. Texas team.
Yep.
Look, I expect us to win.
I think so
too. I don't know. And honestly, you know,
and the Jacks are gonna be rocking that night, dude. Black Friday. Oh,
yeah, come on, man. Like
Jack Trace game's gonna be electric.
If everything has went, if we're 10-1, if we're 11-0, I mean, if we're even 9-2. Like, let's just, you know,
the I mean, Jackson and Thanksgiving's the day before, we're carb loading the day before, and then we're getting drunk on Friday. I mean, come on, man. Well, come on.
Look, the Jack's packed. It's going to be cold, you know, potential Big 12 title, hopefully championship game berth, or if we've already clinched.
Maybe it's already clinched and we're playing backups in the second half. Like, who gives
a shit? Yeah, I mean, come on, man. We don't know if Max Duggan's going to be the QB. They might have him.
He gets hurt enough that he may not be healthy then.
That's what I'm saying.
Who knows?
You know, unfortunate. We want him to play. But at the same time, you know, stuff like this happens.
It happens.
There's going to be a team in the Big 12 that gets injured a lot.
Yep.
It happens every year.
Absolutely.
You know, could be us. Could be anybody. You know, hopefully it's not. But
it can.
You know, we want all the teams to be healthy. But at the end of the day, that's just not how the game works. You know,
and that late in the season, both teams are going to know who they are at that point.
We know who we are. If we're, you know, hopefully if we haven't found a receiver weapon,
we're just not going to find a
collective.
One.
Then we're just not going to find.
We're just one, not going to have it.
Yeah. So it is what it is. At the last game of the year, you know who you are. Hell, by game four, you know, like, all right, he's good. He's inconsistent. This guy's. You know, maybe it's a little too early for him. You know, the light, you know, it's stuff like this happens. You know, you might even know game two, game three.
Right. Yeah.
You know, very interesting to see. Also, I'm laying on it again, but I'm very interested to see how Hunter Decker comes in relief roles. You know, I'm not saying I want that to happen, but I want to see Hunter Decker's in.
Like Kansas. I want to see him in like the whole fourth quarter against Kansas.
I want to see Hunter Decker's when it counts. And I know I want to, you know, I just.
Counterpoint.
I just do, bro.
Counterpoint. I don't want to see Hunter Decker's when it counts because that means that something has gone wrong.
Yeah, I don't. But if it happens, would I be like,
Put it this way. If Hunter Decker's is coming in, even if Brock Purdy gets hurt, I'm not worried about Hunter Decker's being in the game. Like if Hunter Decker's is in the game, I'm fine with it. Like I'm not worried. Everybody else that's not an Iowa State fan that doesn't know who Hunter Decker's is, they're gonna be like, shit, Iowa State's fucked. And we're gonna be like, just kidding. Like, the guy behind him might be better. Like, I don't know.
I'm just gonna be like, hey, the only thing I'm gonna be worried about is if you just get him some time.
Dude, he might not need time. I'm like, he might be ready right now. He's just sitting behind Brock.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm
gonna get a kick out of this at the end of the season when they're like, oh man, they're losing Brock and they're losing Breece Hall.
I would not be shocked if Hunter Decker's has his own package where maybe Brock's over a receiver.
like a weird wildcat type of thing.
I mean, think about it. How much film is on Hunter Deckers?
There's like six plays, and one of them is the best throw I've ever seen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and teams are gonna be like, oh, that was against Kansas.
It doesn't matter who it's against. Did you see the throw?
But that's what I'm saying.
Right. Like, it was a ridiculous Kansas throw to Joe Skates.
You know what I'm saying? Is there enough feel on Hunter Deckers where you're like, I know exactly what?
And he's a lefty too, so everything is just backwards. So, like,
just saying,
it'd be an interesting wrinkle.
I'm not saying that's gonna happen because I don't know if they want to risk, you know,
but like
all that. But
if Hunter Deckers is playing significant snaps, something has gone wrong. Either Brock is hurt or Brock is playing like shit. So like I don't want to see Hunter Deckers in important snaps until next year.
I'm intrigued. I'll change my word. I'm intrigued.
I will be just like you. I will be very curious. I will be a very, very curious observer when he does come in, if he does come in.
I'm telling you, hey man, that's a recruiting pitch. If Hunter Deckers comes in a relief role one game, you know, Brock, his shoulder's tight. We're playing Kansas. We're going to sit in this game. We should beat Kansas.
Yeah, we should beat Kansas. We could put Howard Brown at quarterback and beat Kansas.
I think every, which is a sleeper, by the way. I need to ask about
get him. Get him a fridge package.
Yeah, a sleeper.
We asked Campbell about that in the pod, and he's like, he definitely didn't say no. Like he almost said yes.
I'm going to ask this here about if there's some, you know, some Howard Brown hype at defensive tackle.
Yeah, you should probe your sources a little bit and see what I've got to see.
That.
I mean, like what he's like, heard, the comments have been like, he's super athletic and he's a really great personality. He's a great locker room guy.
Here's the thing. It's been very, very hard for me to get information.
Yeah, it has been like radio silence. Like outside of the Jalen Noel hype, it has been like radio silence.
I've texted my top people. They've been very vague, which leads me to think. This could be, maybe we've got something here. I'm just saying. Because usually every year, hey, how are we? You know, we're going to be good.
Right. Yeah. But
trying to keep it a secret. Like,
ahead of the biggest season in program history, all of a sudden now we got nothing. Like,
I'm telling you, I've texted old ex-teammates. We'll just say.
Sure.
I won't say names. I've texted ex-teammates that have really good insight.
Sure. Nothing.
They've heard nothing. Nothing. How's the team? You know,
yeah.
What a smirk! It's like a,
yeah, but it's like the I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm just like,
oh, there's 2 weeks left of football and I can't handle it right now.
Yeah. Shout out to my Illini. We play against the Cornhuskers next weekend.
You're gonna beat them, dude.
First game of the year. I think we're gonna beat them.
I think you will too. I don't know how good Illinois is gonna be, but I know Nebraska is gonna be bad. So
they're gonna do a 30 for 30 on Nebraska and how good they were and how trash they've been the last
15 years.
I won't say 15 because they went to the Big 12 title game.
I'll say 10.
I'll say the last decade they've been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so excited! It's next weekend too. I'm intrigued. Nebraska's favored, man, but it's a 12 o'clock game. First game.
Is it in Nebraska?
No, it's at
Illinois.
Illinois. You know, and Illinois whooped them last year.
Did they?
They beat Nebraska at Nebraska last year. They whooped them. You know, let me check the score.
A good ass whooping.
If I'm not mistaken, they were up like 3 touchdowns in the fourth, and then you know how it goes.
Garbage touchdowns and such. Yeah.
You know, they get some. So Illinois won 41-23.
Balls.
Won by 3 touchdowns.
Smacked him.
You know, I mean, at the end of the third, they were up 38-17.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think it's a win. I don't know why they think, I don't even know who Nebraska's bringing back.
I don't know anybody on that team. Like,
I don't know.
I guess Adrian Martinez, is he still on Nebraska?
Have no idea. It's a mystery to me. Like, who is Nebraska?
Adrian Martinez is, yes, he is still on Nebraska. That is the Nebraska player that I know, Adrian Martinez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think Nebraska's favorite by 7. I might put some money on that.
You getting into the gambling and stuff?
I'm still trying to learn it, but I'm getting close, man. I'm getting close to pulling that trigger and actually getting into the gambling. I just saw somebody, one of my homies, like one of my coworkers today, he put $50 in on a 14 parlay and just won $126 or $826. So
nice.
It's really good. So
yeah,
we'll see though. But yeah, I think watch out for my other team, my other alma mater, the Illini. We're gonna sneak up on the Cornhuskers. So Iowa State fans, cheer for us.
The honorary Fighting Marching Murdochs.
Yes, sir.
All right. That wraps up our series on the opponent previews for Iowa State. We are back next week, 1 week before game week. Big time. We're getting there.
I got to do some reading on Northern Iowa. I know they still have that quarterback, but I wonder if he's Will McElvain. Still the same. I wonder if he's improved or is he still about the same?
We need to get in touch with our inside sources at UNI.
I don't have any.
I don't either. Yeah. I live pretty close to Cedar Falls. Like I live about an hour away. I can drive up there and spy on practice.
We'll see. Shout out to the Yankees. We're looking good.
Ooh, they didn't in the Field of Dreams though.
We won the series,
but you didn't win the game that mattered.
That game didn't matter.
Excuse me.
I mean, listen, March.
You can listen.
If you ask me, do you want to win at the Field of Dreams or do you want to win the actual series? You want to win the series. So that's what we did.
Yes, but the White Sox will now be remembered as winning the greatest regular season baseball game in the last, I don't know, at least 2 decades, if not more. Like, let's.
Okay. It's a regular season. Who cares?
Well, that's exactly right about baseball. The regular season's so damn long, no single game matters at all.
I mean, to be honest, like, in any sport, you just won the greatest regular season game ever. I mean, if
you got to win.
What did Jordan say? Congrats. You didn't win the chip.
The only reason, I'm only defensive, because I'm not even a White Sox fan. I don't care about the White Sox. I'm a Cardinals fan.
I love the Field of Dreams concept.
I live 10 miles from the Field of Dreams, so it's like...
Yeah. I am sentimental. I'm not saying that the Field of Dreams game doesn't matter because
it's cool. It does. It's incredibly cool.
But if you lose, but you win the series,
that's
fair. You're trying to get into the playoffs.
That's fair.
Okay. You won. I mean, we were literally what? 2 outs away from sweeping them. Okay.
That is true.
You know, they could beat us, but we won the series. Okay.
There really, you go.
Was it 1 out? Might have been 1 out.
You're 1 out away, yeah.
So, hey, we were 1 out away from sweeping it. Okay. And it was the first game we ended up. It's not like it was the last game. That gives you kind of a sour taste. But we ended up getting ourselves back together, and we won the last 2 games.
Very true.
And, you know, and now we just swept the Red Sox. And we just beat the Twins today. I mean, we're on a 5-game win streak. So
there you go. All right. You got any final thoughts for a wrapper up for this week and prepare for football season?
Cyclone fans, I will be at the Iowa game and bringing my father. I'll be out there Thursday. But got to make sure I go to Estes. I'll be on campus a lot. I'll be in my hotel's in Des Moines, so feel free to hit me up on Twitter, hit me up Instagram. Let me know where you're tailgating at. I'll try to, you know, make sure I visit everybody.
I say when you know, in 2019, you and I walked around to a bunch of them. That was a good time.
Yeah, I wanted to take my dad this year. Oh, yeah. We haven't really had a time to like enjoy tailgating. That's kind of the weird thing about being a player is that you don't really know what's happening outside of the game or before the game, or you barely know what's happening after the game.
Right.
You know, it'll be a good moment to have my dad out there. So just let me know what lot you're in, and we'll try and visit out there. We'll be out there in our Cyclone Nation shirts. We'll be ready and ready to go.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll be back again next week. Like I said, 1 week before, just 2 weeks left to game day. But we'll be back next week talking more Cyclone stuff. So everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of the night, or not the nightcap, Talent Pipe and Natty Light. I have too many damn podcasts. I'm Levi Stevenson from Archie Murdoch. Everybody have a great week. Great rest of your week, and go Cyclones.